So can I, let's take back up, because it got so strong in our last section that we're dealing with the spirit of faith actually is Mark 11:22. So you see, people have been trying to work Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24, but they were not operating in the spirit of faith. Therefore, there's failure. Are you seeing me? You see, because Jesus warned us, if you go on in verse 23 and 24 and you won't do what I did to that tree, you're going to have to go in verse 22 first. In other words, and you had to go in 2 Corinthians 4:13. You're going to have the spirit of faith. See, Jesus, you cannot go in that dimension just with the word of faith. Mm-hmm. See, we talk about the word of faith, and that's a whole denomination, isn't it? But now, charismatic-wise, you got to operate in the spirit of faith. Mm-hmm. In other words, that word must turn into spirit to operate in that dimension. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people have been quoting, very, very saying, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the thing what he says shall come to pass, he should have whatsoever he says. But he's going to doubt in his heart if that thing is monstrous and it's big. He is going to doubt in his soul if he don't have his spirit in his soul, called a spirit of faith. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to 1 John 2:27. I didn't forget, because with the spirit of faith now, we're saying the spirit of faith is the anointing of faith. You operating in a, get this class, faith anointing. So you got a combination of the word of God spoken to you, the truth of Jesus revealed to you, and the Holy Spirit operating through you. That's what that type of faith called for, because you're not looking at things which are seen no more in 2 Corinthians 4:18. You're not looking at nothing temporary, because everything that you have believed for in that kind of faith that have not manifested is temporary. But you're not looking at it anymore. You're in the spirit of faith now. So you're calling things that be not as though they were, for in you they are. You with me? So that's powerful. Now, I never had come to the grip. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bring you places that you've never been before. I never thought of equating the spirit of faith with truth revealed to you from the spirit of truth in John 16:13. But then now we're talking about a faith that is packing an anointing. A faith that is packing an anointing. See, Jesus, when he cursed that fig tree, he was packing an anointing, and he wasn't making a confession, he's making a demand. And he wasn't dealing with the leaf, he went to the root. And that this foot, this faith that we're talking about goes to the root of everything. So therefore, you will not see no results immediately, naturally, but you know it's done. Yeah. See, when Jesus cursed that fig tree, the fig tree was still standing there laughing. But he didn't curse it up there. Because he could have cursed the leaf, but the leaf will come back. So his faith went down. Oh, my God. The spirit of faith goes down to the root of things. The spirit of faith goes down to the root of things, and don't pay no attention to the roof. Roof, root. Can you understand that? Roof, you can see the roof, but you can't see the root. And when a person not operating in the spirit of faith, they're actually looking at the roof. But when they're not operating in the spirit of faith, let me say it right, they're actually looking at the roof, what they can see. But see, a root of a tree, you can't see it. It's down in the ground. So the root of faith, You can't see it. So we got to stop operating on the roof of faith. See what I'm saying? Huh? Uh-huh. So faith got to be in your innermost being. Faith got to be in your inner man. See, spirit of faith. Then faith get into your outer man. See, it didn't originate there, but you put it there. You believe in God. Your mind, your conscience, everything. You believe in God. Your senses, even your senses, going to believe God. All right, so now, the word of faith and the spirit of faith can be synonymous if you understand. Now, what you mean if I understand? If you understand that the word has to move beyond vocabulary to the voice. Here's a way to understand it. John 10:27. My sheep hear my word? No. My sheep hear my voice. That is another dimension. So you cannot operate in the spirit of faith without the voice of the Spirit. Or you can't operate in the voice of faith without the voice of truth and the voice of the Spirit, and your faith has to be anointed. Well, let's look at this. 1 John 2:27. You got that in Mark? Did you understand that in Mark 11? Did you understand that in Mark 11? I know it's heavy thing over our head. Mark 11, now we're dealing with Mark 11, 22, let's go back, 22, 23, and 24. That's when Jesus cursed that fig tree. And what we're dealing with, class, is the aspect of people trying to quote Mark 11, 23 and 24, Mark 10, 27, you know, the thing that impossible meant all things are possible with God, Mark 9, 23. They're trying to quote all these different things, and which they are there, but they are ineffective. Romans 10, 7, so faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We quote these things, but we miss the word hearing. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep don't just hear my word. My sheep, here I got to stand up a little bit. My sheep hear my voice. Are you following me? So that's a big difference. So now, I think from the level of faith that we're on now in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and I got to include the 18th verse, we found out a lot of truth, class, about faith that is not in the textbook. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit came in these last two classes, and this class here is training us on a whole new level of faith. We probably had to write some book on it that we can get it out to the body of Christ, because a lot of people are trying to have faith in God at a certain level, but God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So when it says have faith in God, it's saying having Holy Spirit level of faith. See. In other words, a faith that the Holy Spirit has produced through the word of God. Or a spirit, the spirit, the Holy Spirit came out of the word of God and got into you by you hearing the voice of God. Right. So now, Mark 11:23 take a whole new connotation to me. Mark 11:24 is brand new to me now, because it's not just a whole lot of saying now. See, Jesus wasn't confessing, he was professing. He was in possession of the thing before it happened. Now, Peter them wasn't, because they was all excited. Jesus never got excited. Come on, yeah. Jesus said, come on. They jump around a tree. Can you see them jump around a tree? Yeah. Whoa, look at this tree. You saw that? Jesus said, come on, man. I'm trying to teach you something. Have faith in God. You can do this. You're just going to jump on what I did. And that's what a lot of time happens in the church. We're jumping what we see in the Bible. We're working on the history without the mystery. So now we got Amos. I think it's Amos. Is it Amos? Where he said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 23:3, I think it is. I don't know, find it. And then it goes a little further. It says, the Lord won't do anything unless he reveals it to his prophet. But you got to be in agreement for to go to another level of faith. You got to be in Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? 27 verse says, he won't do anything unless he reveals it to his prophet. But you got to be in agreement first. So your faith has to be in an agreement before the revelation can come, before the manifestation can come, before the demonstration can come. So a lot of time, oh my God, the Spirit of God just told me, people operating in an idle aspect of faith. Or they're operating in a model of faith that had been given to them by someone else, and they haven't consulted God themselves. And so therefore you don't go no deeper. If you let my word be the last word, all the other things God won't reveal to you, you're not going to ever get it. So that's why you got to have spend a portion of time with God, because I'm growing in these last two classes. I've grown so much these last three classes, this last two in this class here. I've grown so much in faith. Me, myself. I've grown so much in faith because I'm seeing some things. I love Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, but I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it to this degree. It connected with the spirit of faith. It connected with the Holy Ghost. It connected with truth. You see what I'm saying? All of these things have to be in place. It's connected with revelation. Faith must function not from a reading, from a revelation. So I think in this class, in this school, there's a restoration of faith coming to the body of Christ apostolically. It's an apostolic restoration of the mysteries of faith, that we can function in faith more firmly. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Yeah, because you have to know that my faith has favor wrapped around it. Write that down. My faith has God's favor wrapped around it. See, because it's grace, you see. See, people trying to operate in faith without grace. But in Ephesians 2, it tells us we were saved. Faith and grace both had to be there for us to be saved. All right. Now, class, I told you, turn to 1 John 2:27. I've been trying to get there for the last 15 or 20 minutes, but I keep getting jumped over the mark because I saw that commentary. Mark is a commentary on 2 Corinthians 4:13. See. Apostle Paul can tell us so much, but the Holy Spirit had to reveal the rest to us. You got it? Apostle Paul is not the Holy Spirit. Huh? And you see, the same way you got to understand faith, the same way holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So every move we make in the Word of God, we have to have that same mode of operation. We have to be moved by the Holy Ghost. So as we study faith at another level, we're going to have to be moved by the Holy Ghost. I've heard people talk about faith. I've talked about faith, but didn't say much about the Holy Ghost. See. But when Paul get over and said the spirit of faith, he brought the Holy Ghost. He brought the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or ruin the law of sin and death. Everything Satan telling you can't have. Everything the kingdom of darkness trying to block you from, the kingdom of light take over in the spirit of faith. Now, 1 John 2:27. Now, we're talking about the spirit of faith. But we say faith carries an aspect of anointing. Let me prove this. I hear something else in the spirit. It'll be a good proof. John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, don't sit down there. That's the whole spectrum. They that operate in faith got to operate in spirit and truth. And you can't operate in it without the spirit of truth. Then John 16, 13. You see what I'm saying? So that set up a criteria, John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if you're going to operate in the spirit of faith, you're going to have to operate in what? How? In spirit and in truth. So you're going to have a revelation. First, you have to have a revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who you are. Who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who you are. Because if you try to go on who you are with just the Bible, you're not going to get there. Who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who you are. I'm in the family. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. See, that's what Jesus knew. That's why Jesus was so dynamic in his faith. Jesus knew who his Father was, and he knew he wasn't doing it. You read in John 10. He said, it's the Father doing the work. Your faith going to have to know that. Your faith going to have to know. We're back to Romans 12:3. We're back from letting your inner man throw you off track from your innermost being functioning. Your faith has to know. Your faith has to know God doing it. See, unless pride, arrogant, and then the next step is deception, and none, you're turning into a false prophet. See, so Romans 12:3, when he started with the measure, before we can go through those ranks and get to the spirit of faith, he's recognized that it is I'm the one doing it. You not. You see it? See, Romans 12:3. It's so important for these dynamics of faith. See, he's saying, your soul will rob you of the spirit of faith if you don't watch yourself, if you go to thinking wrong. So he used the word think in that three times. Every man has a measure of faith, but many are not going to move from the measure. So I want you to put two words down, three words, measure, medium, and maturity. Where are you? See. Medium means that you're operating in faith some, but you're not maturing because you didn't let your mind got in that medium part to think you so strong in faith that the Holy Spirit can't teach you no more. You got to be, class, remember this, as student here at this school of training, stay teachable. Yeah, don't ever believe you have arrived. There's always more. Even a lot of shackles and a lot of walls have been torn down in these three classes. The last three classes are classic of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm listening too, and I get the one voice, he take me, let's go downtown. He take me to another voice. You seeing it? You listen to this tape again, you see how he been taking me. Because I'm going to tell you, I've never, almost five decades of ministering, so much equated anointed faith. And yeah, in First John 2:27, we've been trying to get to it for the last two classes. But he says here, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Now, as soon as I read that part, it brings me to another verse that is so important to our faith, John 15:7. So now, to operate in the spirit of faith, you got to have the word abiding in you, and you got to have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. Or you got to have the word abiding in you by revelation, and you have to have the Holy Spirit by anointing, empowerment. In other words, I write two words down: insight and empowerment. The spirit of faith has to have insight and empowerment, and they both come from the Holy Spirit using the word. See, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, well, let me get it right. I'll get it right, God. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the Word. Mm-hmm. I know it kind of went over your head. See, God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. I know you said Jesus was manifested, but see, everything Jesus did, it was from God. Mm-hmm. Everything the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, all fruits of the Spirit, is from God. But it's from God's Word. Mm-hmm. So the Word is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and everything else you see in the Bible. All right, I'm going to drop some money. Put that down there. I thought I had something come out of my pocket. But the anointing which you receive of him abideth in you. Now, that word abideth is important. If you're going to operate in the spirit of faith, you're going to have an abiding word and an abiding anointing. So it goes on to say, you need not that any man teach you. It doesn't mean I'm teaching you right now. But I'm really not teaching you. It's the spirit on spirit. It's the spirit. I'm called, and I'm teaching you by revelation, but it's actually the Holy Spirit teaching. Whoa, whoa. Huh? So you're actually in the Holy Spirit class. You see? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to understand this. It just takes faith off the hook. When I say off the hook, that nothing can stop it, you see. You need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye should abide in him. As again, back to John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it should be done to you. Well, you got to ask in faith. See, you never just action by prayer. Prayer without faith don't work. So this spirit of faith is a what it is, Lord, a maxim. It max out the spirit world to cause everything to function. When he said the spirit of truth, the spirit of faith, the spirit of life, all involved in the spirit of faith. Because so you can function. That's why Jesus was functioning at the degrees he functioned. Now, Jesus was a man. Come to show us how it worked. So when they went to question him about how great he was, he pointed to the Father. He said, me and my Father are one. Now, you ready for this? When you understand the lesson that has been taught to you in these last three sections, you and the Father become one in faith. You got to go over and over and over again. I dropped in my spirit. I understand it, so I got to pause now. But I'm going to use faith now. I'm going to pause and see if I understand that actually I'm not doing it. It's the Father doing it. But me and the Father are one by air, by me being an air. That's what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that him and his Father was one, so he can do all these things. A lot of times the disciples didn't understand him. And so you get ready, because I feel the Holy Ghost now. Get ready. A lot of people not going to understand you when you go to talking like this, especially when you go to walking like this, and especially when you know you're not doing it. See, especially if you can be on top of the mountain but still be meek, and still still walk in love and still respect other people. Don't think you all that. Right. See, so a lot of people are held down because they can't handle it. They can't handle it. When you learn the lesson, when you learn your infirmities, you're going to operate in faith better. When you learn your weaknesses, your inadequacies, you're going to walk in faith better. Because then there's a dependency, a switch in purpose. And everything you do now, you want to glorify God. You want to magnify Jesus. And you want to be functioning through the edification of the Holy Spirit. See, you got the Trinity. You got to respect that. So, and you know, you come to know, you grip, come to grip with the fact that every manifestation is temporary. Mm-hmm. And so you walk around with an eternal bliss in your life. You so nothing moves you. A thing, nothing can move you down here. Whatever you're moving down here, you're moving it for God to point somebody to Jesus Christ. I mean, it's so powerful. Because, class, so many times people try to get in ministry and get in the church, Word of Faith, charismatic. They got a cult coming out now called the Woke, W-O-K-E, and they want you to see everybody got a right to be like they want to be and all that kind of stuff. That, I mean, it's so deep, you know. But we who walk by the Spirit know the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's our protection. The protection is no matter how much this world changed, class, you stick with the truth. And the truth had to be revealed to you. The truth is not something you can study up on, not something you can read up on. It has to be a revelation. So I want you to study these classes. We're going to give you a quiz. There's a lot of stuff that you're not going to find in a textbook. But just the Lord, I give credit to the Holy Spirit. I sense His presence here. Right now, I feel anointing from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I get full, man. I think that if you taught us something that is uttermost important, you are blessed to be in this class. And no accreditation. No accreditation. We're back to Romans 12:3. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think soberly. That is so important for you as a minister, as a servant of God, to make sure that you maximize that scripture. The more you maximize Romans 12:1-3, you're going to be, because I think, the spirit of faith actually is sanctified faith. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. All right, that's a wrap.